You know, we've been accused on multiple occasions of only bringing on, being almost like an echo chamber. We only bring on conservatives, which that's not true. Okay. We have brought on Democrats, left-leaning people before. It's not as often, but we have brought them on. Today, we're bringing one on. Now, this one isn't going to be a debate. I can already tell you, based upon my research of this particular guest, this doctor, medical doctor, is he believes very much as we believe that the lockdowns, the face mask mandates, the businesses being closed, the social distancing, schools being closed, everybody stuck at home. He believes, and he can demonstrate, that they have done much more harm than this so-called pandemic. So we will be joined by Dr. Andy Lazarus here in a moment. Following that, we will have another update by the two mics. Dr. Michael Scheuer and Colonel Mike will be joining us to tell us what's happening in the world. And these updates have been so wildly, madly, insanely popular that we're going to be doing more of them. Love it. At least I hope they will. They have to. The two mics have to be willing to. I can't force them to. Though if they ever stop, I might try to find a way to force them to. I might have to track them down, make an East Coast trip, and figure out how to push them towards being the news update people at Knock Report. All of this is good stuff. And we need more good stuff in this time, this era of COVID, because it's getting depressing. It's not just the depression that comes along with these lockdowns, the depression of losing businesses, losing loved ones. There's also the depression that some of us are starting to feel when we realize that there is an enemy, and that enemy is among us. And it's not just, the mandates. It's not just the authoritarianism. It's not just the disease itself or the doctors. That this enemy is compliance and complacency. People just listen to Dr. Fauci as if he were a god. And it's scary because he's definitely far from being a god. Let's get some music going, and then we'll be back with Dr. Andy Lazarus. Our next guest is a doctor, but very, very differently from what most people expect a doctor to be. This particular doctor is more of a writer than anything else. I've heard him say that he believes that his medical career is secondary to his writing career, so we applaud him for that. He is a practicing primary care physician in Columbia, Maryland, and author of multiple books, including his latest, which is a work of fiction, The Geriatrics Vengeance Club in the Era of COVID. We are very blessed, pleased, and honored to have Dr. Andy Lazarus join us today. Doctor, how are you doing today, sir?
I'm doing great. Thank you for having me here.
Well, thank you for coming on. You know, we are generally, I guess you could call us a hardcore conservative group, but we do like to get perspectives from outside of our echo chamber, so to speak. Mm-hmm. And I think that you from what I could tell, and correct me if I'm wrong, but you're kind of a classical liberal, science and rights oriented, progressive in many ways. Is that a fair assessment?
That's true. I mean, I've typically voted Democratic. I would call myself a liberal, a progressive. I am a libertarian liberal. If you wanted to see the closest kind of liberal I am to, would be someone like Bill Maher, who's not necessarily a team player. You know, Bill Maher will call it as he sees it, and that's kind of how I am too. And with this COVID thing, I've moved as far away from my liberal friends and colleagues as any person can be, because I don't think what they're doing is very liberal at all. I seem to be much more in the conservative camp with this, because I believe in personal rights. I believe in science, not in fake science that people proclaim to be science. And I believe in helping people. And none of that has been happening during COVID, for sure.
No, it has not. And I want to get to the science and your scientific perspective, but I do want to talk the title of the book, and I haven't read it yet, but the title of the book that you've most recently written really caught my attention. The Geriatrics Vengeance Club in the Era of COVID. Number one, tell us about the book. Number two, tell us where we can get it. And then I guess number three, tell us why we should get it. Let's give a quick pitch as to why it's just the best piece of fiction anybody's ever going to read in the era of COVID.
It certainly is a piece of fiction that that I'm passionate about. I've written it from May until about December while I was living through COVID. I am a primary care doctor who takes care of older people. I've taken care of people in various assisted living facilities, nursing homes, retirement communities, as they were completely shut in. I've taken care of 500 or 600 people with COVID. And I've been there to see the reality. And part of this book is a story of how one doctor is trying to help his patients through this epidemic, and how, because he verges a bit from the accepted norms of what I call in my book, Faucism, which is the doctrine of Fauci, how when you verge from that, you basically get attacked. And this doctor ends up losing his credentials, his license, really for not doing very much. And he, in the end, he's saved by the elderly people who he takes care of, who, it turns out, have formed this secret society called the Geriatrics Vengeance Club. And what the Geriatrics Vengeance Club is a bunch of older people who get together to figure out how to maintain their freedom in a world that's trying to take it away from them. And by taking away from them, it's a medical society that's trying to tell them they have to do this test and that test and be on this drug and that drug and listen to everything they say. Their children who basically act like parents to them and tell them what to do. And even in this retirement community, an administration that tells them where they can go, what they can do, who they can talk to. And in this group is an ex-CIA agent, an ex-NSA agent who's called the cat lady because people think she's crazy, but she's brilliant. And a lot of other kind of normal people who help him. Vengeance in this book is how to defy people trying to control you without letting them know you're doing it. And so they become happy and you're happy and everything goes along. And they figure out how to do it with this doctor as COVID is bringing him down. And he realizes that everything he's doing to try to help his patients is antithetical to what this medical society is telling me has to do. The health department who comes in and locks these people up, does not test anyone, tells them to wear masks when they don't work. And he just utters a few words and that's it. He's done. So that's what the book's about. And then the second half of the book goes to what they do, which is basically they go on a mask-free concert tour of the South where he writes the music. And like you said, I always say my medical career was a backup to me being a professional writer. I've just been waiting for that to happen. So I've been a doctor for 30 years now. I love being a doctor. I love caring for my patients. It's just such an honor to do that. And in this, the main character in this book is a same way, but he's a songwriter. And now he gets his big chance to write this music. And I wrote 12 songs for this book. I went through this organization called Fiverr to get people to sing them. Believe me, it was not easy because I had people who would not sing them because I dared say something controversial about Fauci, and I got yelled at by a lot of people. But I did get 4 wonderful singers, and all that music's on my website. It's all woven into the book as they go on this concert tour. We have things like terrorist groups, the Sons of Fauci, who try to disrupt the tour. We have the news, who consistently tries to show that they're spreading virus everywhere, even though they're not. And as part of this doctor, who really has a very tough life, falls in love, finds this bubble that he lives in, and then he gets tossed back into the real world for the last few chapters. And it's how he reconciles that and finds his own vengeance, which is happiness. In the end, his vengeance is happiness, and he finds it at the end. All my books end happy. And the beauty of writing fiction is I could do whatever I want. So I made this all work out. And it was it's a happy ending, unlike today's reality, unfortunately, this doesn't seem to be going away in today's reality.
Not anytime soon. If anything, it's getting worse, at least from an authoritarian perspective.
It is from an authoritarian libertarian perspective. It is.
Yeah, it is. So the, you know, let's first hope that to some extent this is a, you know, your fictional character really mirrors and echoes your life, because I do hope that you find success in everything that you do. I would like to state that when it comes to fiction, you know, I personally, I get enough doom and gloom in the real world. I do look to fiction as a way to have a happy ending. I'm not a big fan of the depressing endings. I don't read much horror. When I say much, I don't think I ever have. I like fiction to be uplifting whenever possible. So that's good. So that was answers to question one and three, or sub questions one and three. The answer to question two is AndyLazarus.com, AndyLazarus.com. That's where you can find the book. Amazon as well. Is it everywhere people can buy books?
Amazon as well. And on my website, AndyLazarus.com, are all my songs. My songs are also on Spotify, Apple Music, but they're all free on my website. The lyrics are there, the singers are there. And there's bits of my book there too, my prologue, which is my perspective, what I've been through and why I wrote this book, and also a little of the science behind why what you're hearing is science is not right. So I talk a little about that also. So, and it's been very frustrating watching my dear science be so mangled. And using it to justify, like you say, an authoritarian response where people are just being imprisoned and their rights are taken away and they're not given choice. One of my favorite medical writers, who's very moderate, but I've seen him get angrier and angrier as this goes on, has said the job of public health is to empower and educate, not to imprison. And that is exactly not what's going on. And it's just an amazing thing for me to see how, so in my neighborhood, people are walking on paths with masks. They'll shame you. They put up Facebook posts about people dying. They have no idea what's going on. They just think they're saving all the world doing this, and really could care less that people are losing their jobs, their businesses, their education, their lives, their joy. Older people I'm taking care of, I've not seen their families for a year. I've lost about a third of my patients to the quarantine. I've lost very few to COVID. But the quarantine is just devastating. And that's just to my little group. You know, across the world, I'm sure millions are suffering and dying from this quarantine. Nobody cares. You never hear Anthony Fauci talk about it. He could care less about anything about COVID particles. He doesn't talk about science. His double mask thing is, I mean, it's a freaking joke, but I mean, the science about masks is as clear as day. They don't work. They never have. In past infections, the Cochrane group has said it. There've been randomized studies that show it. And the fact that people don't care about that is shocking to me. I guess I shouldn't be shocked, but yeah, in my book, everything goes right. You know, they prove that they have this concert. It works out beautifully. And in the end, things turn out okay, which is how I would have hoped it even by now with this vaccine around. I thought that's kind of what they wanted. Sell your vaccine and we'd be done. But now we got variants from Mars coming and we're going to be sending Fauci out in a spaceship to stop them. That'll be the next thing that happens. It just, like you say, it doesn't seem to be ending. So yeah, the songs really, I don't write songs, but I wrote these from my heart because they just came to me, and I'm most proud of that because I'm not a musical person. And I really enjoyed putting that to music and putting it in the, and these older patients who are the stars of the book are just funny, laid back people who just get it, get the world and know how to deal with this insanity. They've been through far worse than this before. And they're really the heroes of the book. And reflect a lot of my real patients who have been my heroes, as I've the nurses and nursing aides and everyone else I work with who've had to live through this terror and been completely take all their power and education has been removed from them, and they've just had to follow the script that we all know makes no sense and watch people suffer and die from just a horrible response. So yeah, this book allowed me to do this in a humorous and uplifting way, and it saved me personally. So I hope people enjoy it in the same way.
I definitely hope they do as well. We're on with Dr. Andy Lazarus talking about fascism. It's a term I hadn't heard before, but I really like it.
It's my term. I'm amazed no one else has talked about it, but to me, that's what it is. It's fascism.
Well, we're going to make that term famous and fully credit you, because it does make perfect sense. And, you know, as I've said many times with many guests in the past, you know, Dr. Anthony Fauci has not been a practicing doctor for decades. He's a patents guy. He's a money guy, and he's a politician and a bureaucrat. I'm not saying that he's not smart. I think that he's obviously brilliant. I just don't think that he's applying the scientific side of his brilliance to anything, that he's applying the financial, the political, the authoritarian side.
There's no science to what he says at all. It's funny, before this thing hit in a year ago, he did make some statements that were sensible. He actually did say masks don't work, you know, because we knew that before. But then he just went off on his self-promoting tour of Anthony Fauci. You know, who in the middle of a crisis throws a pitch at a baseball game? You know, if George Patton came back from World War II and did that, I don't think he'd be well received.
Well, and I don't think you can call what he did. Yeah, I don't think you can call what he did actually throwing a pitch.
No, that was, right, exactly.
More of a spasm. Yeah. It was more like an involuntary baseball response. No, absolutely. So if you would, I've been trying every time you move, I've been trying to catch a glimpse of your shirt. Sure. Yeah, exactly. Would you mind showing it and telling us what it says? Tell us about it.
As part of the book, my main character makes shirts, and the shirts end up being the concert shirts. And I have six or seven that I made. And by the way, other groups would not make my shirts. They said they were offensive. So I was lucky to get a few of them made. This one says, "Friends don't let friends drive with a mask." That's what this shirt says. I have other shirts that say similar things. And you know, I was driving today and with my friends who I run with, and there was someone with a mask in a car all alone. And I'm like, even a year later, I don't get it. I mean, what could people be thinking? But that's how much they bought this hook, line, and sinker without asking. If guys like Fauci and a lot of his, you know, people from University of Washington and Hopkins and everywhere else are on CNN, I've never heard a CNN anchor ask them a probing question. Basically, dear great Anthony Fauci, what's going to happen next? There are no questions asked. And that seems to be what all these people are doing too. They're not, they say, well, they work. How do they work? Well, Anthony Fauci says they do. And this is, you know, I read a lot about dictators and fascists, and this is what they do. They're cults of personalities. We don't necessarily have to say anything real, but yeah, that's what this shirt says. Friends don't let friends drive with a mask. And I had others that they would not let me do. So I have a few that they actually made.
Well, I think that we've gotten to that point in society, and it's very discouraging, because I would not have thought that it was like that before this past year. But we've seen essentially a Pavlovian response to anything that Dr. Fauci says. And it's funny when you watch him spin, because he will say one thing, a week later he'll say another thing, and somehow the cognitive dissonance by many Americans is, yes, you know, both statements that would normally seem to be contradictory, they make sense now because our cult leader, Dr. Fauci, has said it. Yes. So let's talk about the science real quick. You know, let's go. You're a medical doctor. You treat people. You treat patients with this. I have long contended that the, you know, clinical depression, isolation, drug overdoses, suicide, the things that we're not seeing very much reported on, simply because I think that they would tell a very different narrative. You know, I noticed that the CDC has not updated their suicide numbers. They used to do it every year, you know, like clockwork in February. They haven't touched those numbers since the February 2019, which showed the 2018 numbers. So my question to you is this. You have been there. You've studied the science. You've been hands-on with patients. Which is more deadly? Just flat out, which is more deadly? The quote-unquote pandemic or the lockdowns?
I mean, to me, there's no question. The lockdown is far more deadly. It's, you know, especially I take care of a patient group that is theoretically most at risk from COVID. The death rate in nursing homes and assisted livings reaches as high as 10%. in some studies. The death rate, by the way, of anyone who doesn't live in an assisted living or nursing home is 1 out of 2,000 of people who get it, which is less than flu. But so my group, theoretically, it's very deadly, but we know how to treat it. It's really, you know, you got to look at what COVID does. Like a lot of bad viruses, it causes people to clot. It causes a hyperimmune response. We treat it with prednisone. We treat it with anticoagulants, which are blood thinners. And we've done really well. We've had very few deaths. The deaths of the 600 or so people that who have had COVID, the vast majority of them don't know they have COVID. The vast majority. I remember I saw one woman, I had to tell her, I said, I have bad news for you. You have the virus. She said, I have the virus. She said, thank God. I thought I had that thing on TV that was killing everyone. So this kind of went on me, and she wasn't symptomatic. The few people who have died, most of them are end of life. They were on hospice or near hospice anyway. The Swedish experience has showed exactly that those are the most likely people to die. And partially because the families didn't want me to treat them. You know, I have this simple, cheap treatment that we gave people. They said, no, it's, you know, they're at the end of life. The quarantine has been devastating. I can't even say enough of what it's like for someone who's old not to see their family for a year, to be greeted every day by people wearing masks and shields and staying away, not being having communal meals, not exercising, not having their brains work, falling down, the death, the dementia progression, the physical disability has been worse this year than I've seen in 30 years as a doctor. Nobody cares. Worldwide, I've looked at this. I know people like Scott Atlas have been talking about this since May of last year. But I'm also writing a nonfiction book about this. It's already going to be published. It's been accepted by a publisher, Springer, and it's a big book. But we looked at the effects of the quarantine on depression, on death, on loss of income, on starvation across the world. And there's no question. You know, the amount of deaths from COVID worldwide is about 2.5 million. In 2017, the amount of respiratory deaths was 2.5 million. It's the same. The amount of deaths we're going to see from this quarantine is going to far surpass that. And that doesn't even talk about the people who have just had to suffer, lost the year of their life, kids. I've had two kids who graduated, but who didn't have a graduation, who had to do everything virtually, who lost out all their experiences, one in college and one in law school. And that's fine. That's, you know, they can handle that. Athletes who couldn't participate, who trained forever for their sports and couldn't participate. But I've had people who I know own businesses who've lost the businesses. Just struggling. Everyone's struggling for nothing. That this quarantine has not helped anybody. We know that. You know, that's been studied also. We know it does not help. We know the population that is most at risk. We could have handled them very well by just doing rapid testing, which we're still not doing, by the way, of anyone who goes into a long-term care facility. That way they could have been free in there. People could come and go. Their families could come. They get tested. We didn't do that. We just shut down everything else, which has nothing to do. You know, we look at people in Miami on a beach and think somehow that's affecting the death rate of someone in a nursing home. That, like you say, the cognitive dissonance is shocking to me. But yes, as someone who has studied this academically and who has lived through it, watched my patients suffer from this, it's horrifying. And I'm powerless. The health department is my dictator. The governor, my governor, Governor Hogan, all he can say is wear your damn mask. That's the only thing that comes out of the guy's mouth. I've written to him so many times as a frontline doctor, never a response. He talks to academic doctors who really don't. They're sitting in basements, chugging out numbers, making these models, which are completely erroneous. And that's who he talks to. And he seems to think, like every other governor, that his complete control of our lives is absolutely okay for a year. I don't know that people in America realize just where this could lead and where it has led in other nations before, when we give up our rights this easily and we don't ask why. So that part of it's been bothersome too, because I'm also a student of history. I read history constantly, and this is frightening to me. one of my characters in the book is a big history person. And, you know, when the main character says, you know, I'm so shocked that liberals are doing this. She says, well, I guess you don't know about the fact that when Japanese Americans were put in camps during World War II, that was all liberals. Eugenics, which allowed sterilization of the handicap, supported by the Supreme Court, both these things, all liberals. You know, I'm a liberal. God, am I embarrassed by all this? I always thought we were a little smarter than this, but obviously we got our own thing. The liberals have their own thing they want to do, and that is to follow this guy. My son once told me, I said, why are they dumbing down like that? And they said, he said, well, to all the liberals, Fauci is the anti-Trump. So you just got to follow him if you don't like Trump. I said, but I don't necessarily like either one of them. I said, aren't I allowed not? And whenever I argue about this, people say to me, well, I guess you like Trump. I said, I don't necessarily like Trump. I do like Scott Atlas. Oh, Scott Atlas, he has no right to be talking about this. But he's been right. I mean, he's been compassionate. He really cares about people, where Fauci cares about particles. It's a very different thing. So, yeah, that no question. Long answer to this. The quarantine has been devastating. That's been history is going to show what that did eventually. And we're all going to be backtracking. All the people who supported New York Times, everyone else, they're already started. They're going to start backtracking. And that's what's going to happen.
Well, and then when you control the narrative, you also control the narrative shift, and nobody's ever wrong when you're the storyteller.
Exactly. That's right.
You know, and it's again, you know, I keep going back to Fauci, but I'm going to dive into a question that may make you a bit uncomfortable because it's not necessarily leaning on your medical expertise or your anything else. It's kind of, I mean, this is the type of question you'd probably hear on like Alex Jones or something like that. But I have to ask, and I want you to know, I'm not a tinfoil hat wearing guy, but I'll tell you, I've never been more, I guess, convinced that there is something behind the scenes driving this, because I cannot believe that, you know, Fauci and Bill Gates, you know, you talked about eugenics, that all of these prominent people that are getting all the attention, they seem to all be in lockstep when it comes to promoting the idea that you know, if we just wear our masks and stay 15 feet apart and shut down all of our businesses and stay indoors at all times and get 15 vaccines, and you know, we should be able to get back to normalcy within one or two generations. And this it's like, I'm waiting for people to say, no, that's not acceptable, but I'm not. I'm seeing people saying, okay, Dr. Fauci, okay, Dr. Gates, what's your degree in anyway? You know, I don't get it. So my question for you is, as a, you know, coming from a libertarian, liberal perspective, do you think that this is just stupidity on everybody's part? Or is there a driving force, you know, a separate agenda, an authoritarian agenda that is driving all of this?
So it's funny, in my book there, you know, two of the main leaders of this vengeance club, like I said, one's a former CIA person, one's a former NSA, and they have this argument. One of them says, this is all, there's something behind this. You know, Fauci's lab was working on viruses. They were working with the Wuhan lab, kind of went there. And people are making money on the patents. And there's a lot behind. The other one who was involved with Johnson in Vietnam says, look, these guys just don't know what to do. They don't know. They're just flabbergasted. You know, New York hit. We were behind the eight ball. So all they're doing is dropping bombs. They're just saying, do this, do that, making themselves sound really, you know, like they're really tough and handling this virus as tough as they can. And people are buying it. No one's walking back. So one mask is good. Let's go with two masks. You know, we're going to be really tough now and go with two masks. 6 feet. Are you kidding? It might even be 10 feet. 10 feet we got to be. And there's no science behind this, but people are buying it. So that's kind of the argument in my book between these two characters who snip at each other all the time. Is this kind of like this agenda that, you know, I have a friend who says, you know, that they threw out this virus. It's kind of bad, but not horrible, you know, compared to lots of other viruses, similar to the 68 and 57 flu viruses, not even in the same ballpark as the 18 virus. They threw it out just to see what people would do because they got something else down the line. And they're as shocked as anyone that people were willing to shut down their lives and close everything down for this and just not ask any questions and just, you know, wear these masks in you know, national parks where no one's around and someone's sitting down there laughing and laughing at these people. But that, you know, that's the big argument. Is there something behind this, or is this something that they just threw at us because they wanted to seem tough? And then Fauci becomes this hero. So he just keeps doing it. And, you know, whether he's certainly, there's nothing he is saying that has a even a modicum of science behind it. And he says it with great authority, but they're all buying it. So he's not, he's just keeps going. He's in Fashion Magazine, Man of the Year, throwing pitches. Maybe he's making money, but I think just he's been a self-promoting kind of guy his whole career. I think he's just loving it at age 80. That people are just worshiping him. So I don't know the answer. I don't think we'll ever know. Either one of those scenarios to me is equally terrible. So it doesn't, we're not getting honesty and we're not getting someone who says, look, we don't need to do all this stuff. There are people who say that, but they're not invited on CNN and they're certainly not in the newspapers, but there are people saying that. There's something called the Great Barrington Petition. I don't know if you've heard of that. Mm-hmm. Where 10,000 or so very prominent scientists have come out and said, this is not what we should be doing. You know, we should be doing this much more selectively and opening up society. And of course, what Sweden did was absolutely appropriate. And the Swedish minister said, look, as public health ministers, we have to look at both the virus and what we do to stop the virus, because both of them are harmful and we have to balance them. People are going to die. They die all the time of something. So when CNN throws on those rare young people who die and scares everyone to death, I'm like, yeah, this happens all the time with everything. Young people die, 50,000 or so a year die of multiple things, but they don't talk about that. So again, that maybe there's something behind. CNN's ratings are great, so they don't want it to go away. So there is that money drive, but there's also, I think, that drive of just, they feel, you know, these, I have a song about scientists who are just love their new fame. You know, they it's called the numbers game. They say the more we throw out numbers, the smarter we seem. We get on CNN and we just love looking at ourselves. That's one that very few people were willing to sing. But that's what I feel like it is. They're like celebrities now and they don't want to give it up. And it's a shame because they're certainly not scientists anymore. They're deceiving everyone. So I don't know if it's that or people are profiting. Probably a little of both.
It's bad or bad, either way.
Either bad or bad. Either one is terrible.
Pick your poison.
It's certainly not science. And you know, as a person of science, I think this is going to do more damage to science in this one year than any. Everyone screams about how, you know, Reagan and other people destroyed science. Believe me, this year has done more damage to science than any year I've been alive. And it's done in the name of science, which is horrible. But it, how people could put up with it is beyond me. The science is so clear about what we should be doing and what is complete fakery. It's clear. And we're doing just the opposite and calling it science. And I don't know where that's going to lead, but I don't know how people have the conscience to do this. Or maybe they are just stupid. I don't know. It's hard to tell. People are easily indoctrinated, and that's what's going on here. And they pick and choose the people they want to put on TV. And this is what happens when you have that. You don't have a real discourse. God forbid. I heard someone on CNN, one of the commentators, it was about in the summer, when Scott Atlas mentioned something about opening up society, she called him a mass murderer. And you know, this kind of vitriol, if you dare ask any questions, is what's leading us down this horrible road that I God knows if we're going to get out of it anytime soon. Because we should be done. We should be done. Yeah.
I mean, you look at, you know, when you have stuff that happened like down in Texas, they lifted the mask mandates, the lockdowns at restaurants went to full capacity, you know, across the board. And then, you know, within 2 weeks after that, the COVID cases shot up by like, oh, no, wait, they dropped, didn't they? Yeah, they dropped down quite a bit, actually.
But that's exactly right. And yeah, maybe they'll go up because kids are going back to school, but we don't worry about kids. I mean, we don't care about that.
Well, that's kids, been showing their,
there's studies about kids going back to school. Sure, they'll get COVID. Okay. They get other things too. More kids die of other things all the time.
Including the flu.
The
flu, though, has been cured.
It's been cured. It's been cured because, by the way, if you get the flu and COVID, you died of COVID. If you had a heart attack and COVID, heart attacks have been cured this year too. Because if you have a heart attack and COVID, you died of COVID.
If you jump out of a plane, your parachute doesn't open up. You hit the ground and die, and you had COVID. Then you died of COVID.
It's COVID. Absolutely, what's going on? And it's people again, no questions asked. They just assume this is all happening from COVID. And I say, God, you know, where are people's eyes? But yes, it is. The cases could potentially go up when kids go back to school, and they don't distinguish that from the high risk groups. And people that, when they lift the mask mandates, everyone's doing just fine. In fact, they're going to do better because they could live their lives and be happy and hug their grandkids and see their grandkids go play soccer. And, you know, things that just make us human beings have been taken away from us. And that's important. I mean, you just can't keep counting particles and cases. We have to balance everything, and it's just not the case. At the beginning, this is all about, we don't want to overwhelm the hospitals. That's what it was about.
Days.
We don't hear that anymore. Now one case, that's the end. We shut everything down. And yeah, they will make anyone who lifts a mask mandate, all of a sudden they're going to demonize them. And that's what happens in my book, you know, as they're traveling around in this concert. And the way they have 10,000 people in the concert is they test everyone. They do rapid testing, and no one's getting sick. But they keep trying to, you know, connect them to other surges here or there, and they're going to kill everyone. And people are on TV. These people are dangerous. And, you know, the guy in charge of the concert, this concert promoter, is just putting out the flames and keeping everyone in their bubble. But, you know, in the end, it just it blows up because they won't stop. And people are so brainwashed. Very disturbing. Because we've seen this too many times in history, and it doesn't end well. So we could just hope that we move on. I think once we shed this, in my book, what I say is eventually Americans just tired of this. They wanted to go to baseball games. They wanted to see their kids. And it went away. And remember, after the 1918 flu, we had the Roaring Twenties. So I just can only hope that we're in America, and eventually people do tire of things here. And we do like our lives, and we like our freedoms. And hopefully we will start I see signs of it now that there is some kind of pushback, not from the people in my neighborhood, but from other areas of the country. And I was in Florida recently and heard people sitting around talking. They said, you know, we did better in this state with all us old people than they did in these states where they were in California, where they wouldn't even let you out the door. And they're right. But, you know, God forbid that shows up on CNN. You won't see it. But people are getting it. I think they slowly. I am a little optimistic.
You are more optimistic than me, because I have seen the thing that disappoints me the most isn't that government has embraced it. It's not that even medical science and doctors, other than, you know, the tens of thousands that don't, that never get any airtime on CNN, as you say, but, you know, the medical science doctors, they have not done right. But the thing that disappoints me the most is that the people have simply accepted it.
Yes. Like, and and God forbid you talk to them and explain something. They just think you are an evil person. And yes, that I don't get it. I mean, I've read about this in history, but I didn't expect to see something like this here. I just didn't expect it. It's just complete acceptance to the point of almost like religious fervor. And it reminds me of the Middle Ages more than anything else, you know, that someone like me is a heretic. And if they had their way, they'd burn me at the stake. And it's just revved up to that level over things that, and what disturbs me is they call it science. Call it what it is, which is just ritual and myth. You know, that's what they're promoting. There's no science behind it, but yeah, people just accept it blindly. These are a lot of educated people. I'm not going to say they're smart, because they're not, they're educated, But blind acceptance, like you, has been the most disturbing thing. Scientists, Fauci has tried to close the country many times. He did it during George Bush's presidency as well. But people didn't listen to him. Now, everything he says is golden. When he had a little debate recently with Rand Paul, which I thought Rand Paul took him down, mm-hmm. my liberal friend said, wow, Fauci just made a mess of Rand Paul. I said, what, were you watching the same thing I was? He said, well, he's an eye doctor. What does he know? I said, Fauci's nothing. He's not a doctor. He doesn't, he shouldn't be doing any of this stuff. So yeah, it's that has been the most disturbing part. And that's a big part of my book. It disturbs the main character more than anything, how he watches people just compliantly follow like sheep. He calls them masked zombies. That's his word for them. And he starts to just get angry. And he just wants to hit them. And he's a nonviolent guy, but yes, a lot of him is me. And I have felt that way. But yeah, he just can't accept that people can be like this. Just so sheep-like, it's scary. Very scary.
It's terrifying. I mean, what we're seeing, you know, you say that what you described in the exchange between Dr. Fauci and Senator Rand Paul, you know, it does depend upon whose perspective, who's watching it, who will determine, you know, winner or loser. And that's common. But what we're seeing is such a strong push. It's a confirmation bias feedback loop, essentially. And it's on both sides. I just think that our side is doing it the right way and theirs is not. Doctor, listen, I've been trying my best. We used to do hour and a half long shows, 2 hour long shows. The feedback has been to split things up. I have about a dozen more questions for you, but if I were to start those, we're not going to finish. I would love to ask you to come on again here very soon. I'm not talking about, hey, you know, come on in a couple of months. I'm saying, can we have you on again next week to talk about this and to answer some more questions? Because here's the thing. We have this problem is, you know, beyond just an annoyance. There are people dying as a result. And unfortunately, as you said, the people, the scientists, the doctors who are willing to speak out are not being given a platform. So we are trying to establish as many platforms as possible. So I'm asking you, number one, would you mind coming back and continuing this conversation next week?
As you can tell, I like talking about it, so I'm absolutely happy to come back. Yes.
Very good. And number two, I do have one final question for this episode. But before we do that, you know, I want to give a shout out, make sure that everybody knows to go to andylazarus.com, A-N-D-Y-L-A-Z-R-I-S. Did I spell that right?
You did.
Okay. Andylazarus.com. Find his music, which he's not a musician, but now he is. Find his writings, find his books, find his thoughts on COVID-19 and help to get the word out, because there are so few out there who are willing to talk about it. And yeah, I shouldn't say that. There's actually probably a lot of doctors who are willing to talk about it, but nobody's giving them a platform to do it. And that's a shame, because that's, you know, you don't hear from Dr. Scott Atlas very much anymore. You know, when for a while you did, now you don't, and that's a shame. Yeah, so we will see. But anyway, my final question for you, Doctor, is what is your prediction, you know, medically speaking? What is your prediction as far as mutations or, you know, different iterations, different variations? You know, is COVID-19 or COVID-21 or COVID-24 or whatever, is this going to be something we need to be concerned with perpetually, ongoing?
Well, you know, no more than flu. You know, influenza mutates, all viruses mutate. This is what they do. What we see is that people who have had COVID or have been vaccinated, so they have antibodies to COVID, don't seem to be getting sick from any of these magical variations. They make these variants seem like there's something odd and strange. This is viruses. And by the way, people who had SARS and who have had other coronaviruses don't seem to be getting sick from this one. So, you know, the bottom line is it doesn't matter. You know, there are always going to be variants. But I think, you know, we're past where we have to worry about this. Right now, the treatment of this problem is far, far worse than the problem. they'll find variants left and right. Like I said, Mars everywhere else. You know, soon it's going to be coming through TV screens. But no, I don't think that should be our focus. Our focus should be the fact that we have gotten to a point where we should know how to treat this now, which people aren't doing right, but it's something we should know how to do pretty simply. And we should know that people who have had this, which CDC guesses at least half the country, plus the people immunized, are going to be fine with variants or otherwise. I think that's what Rand Paul was trying to say. People have not actually gone to the hospital who have had COVID once or have had vaccination, variants or not. So yeah, we have to take a step back and say, we're done. You know, we got to move on. Is my prediction that's going to happen? I don't know. I hope.
Well, if they want to get insight into that, they can buy the Geriatrics Vengeance Club in the Era of COVID, the new fictional novel by Dr. Andy Lazarus. Doctor, thank you so much for being on with us on the Doc Report.
Thank you so much. It was a pleasure.
Absolutely. Take care.
Take care.
Hey, you're on with two mics, Dr. Michael Shura and Colonel Mike. And this is a Knock Report update for freedomfirstnetwork.com, which also has, and this is how you support us, freedomfirstcoffee.com and then ffn.locals.com. You're going to say, what the heck is that? That's our own personal Twitter. You can talk to JD. Shows go up. Oh, by the way, while we're talking about ffn.locals.com, Dr. Mike, I always see these notifications come up. Jeff Dornick posted a new podcast. J.D. Rutger posted a new podcast. Knock Report posted a new podcast. But I don't see any of the other shows. Nobody gets a new podcast on ffn.locals.com. I'm not complaining, but I'm just putting it in the news break so you know what I'm talking about. All right, let's get back to business. All right, in the news today, we're talking about the border. You know, all the Republican senators went down there showboating, taking the selfies. Oh, my God, it's tragic. I can't believe this. You know, everybody was so emotional. And I noticed they didn't talk to any of the people coming over. They're afraid of catching something, you know. But they were like, you know, I guess about two streets down, city blocks down, taking the pictures and so on. But I've been to those border points. Okay, so I know what it's like. You know, you could be right. If you want, you could be shaking hands with them as they're coming over. I was on that bridge. I went the other way one day to Mexico. When I got there, I had no paperwork on me. I left it in the truck with one of the CPB agents. And I went over with a couple of guys with a CPB. I says, hey, I want to get into Mexico. And the guys, get out of here. Go back to America. I said, what are you talking about? I thought anybody can come to your country. I got no documents. I got no papers. I thought you didn't need them. Guy says, please follow those people. So he sent me back to America. I went over the bridge. There's no lie. It's truth. So anyway, on the border with the senators, the selfies, they were doing the selfies and all that. You know, here's the thing that's going to happen. Nobody's going to say we're putting more budget together. Nobody's going to say we're going to do something with Homeland. Nobody's going to put extra agents. And you know what's not going to happen, Dr. Mike? You know what's not going to happen? Nobody's even going to make a law. Executive order Joey Bribes. He could make an executive order tomorrow. Stop everything. Cold. Bam. Executive order, I close the border. But you know he's not going to do that. But what could happen is the Republicans can introduce a bill called We're Finally Going to Do Something on the Border Bill. And you could even have music to it, like Willie Nelson. You know what I mean? Or maybe, what was that guy's? Marty Robbins down in El Paso or something like that. You know, you could put music to the bill. But they could say, all right, we're going to introduce this bill. And this bill is going to say that we want to start in small parts. We want to start putting a law together to do something about this immigration. But nobody's going to do anything because as some of our ignoramus, is that the word? Can we say it?
Yes, that's a very good word.
All right. Ignoramus senators who were elected in the Republican Party, and ignoramus is on the other side, you know, they're going to say, we need this for 2022. We need this for 2024. You know what you need? You need a good swack right on the side of your head, and you need to be thrown out. By the way, somebody said the other day, Colonel Mike, what do we do with this? I mean, like, I said, well, nobody's going down there and protesting. Nobody's got placards. They scared the shit out of you. They chased you out of Washington. They told you you're on the white terrorism list if you show up and defend yourself or protest your government. So just wait for them to go to a restaurant and get a nice hot bowl of chicken soup or minestrone and trip. That's all you could do. Just give them the burn and, you know, let them sue the establishment for a hot cup of coffee or something. You know? Is they good? They're all, you know what's great about our country, Mike? All of our politicians are attorneys or accountants. They can't do a budget. They can't pass laws. Think about it. You know? lifetime grifters. What do you got for the knock report?
Well, I wanted to add just a little bit on yours. It's really astounding that this country has come to the point where, now, how much really IQ do you need to go and stand down on the border and realize that it's bad, it's dangerous to America for both criminal reasons and for health reasons and for pedophile reasons, and not say, okay, that's enough, let's do that. How many brain powers, little gray cells, as Monsieur Poirot would say, do you need to go to Oakland or Seattle or Portland and watch people destroying businesses, killing people, blazing cars? How much brain power does it take to say, oh, wait a minute, that's enough of that. They're criminals. Let's grab them and get rid of them.
It doesn't take much gray cells.
It takes a farmer, some guy who's a fourth generation farmer who went to high school and then went to work with his old man and then inherited the farm. Somebody like him could solve all of these problems in about 5 minutes after observation.
But we won't have that because it's a POC. A POC is a person of color. And right now, the POC, let's say, disinformation or information package that they're running down on the Americans is to keep everybody woke. And it's to make you believe you're a Karen or you should have a guilt trip that you're white. But I, you don't know something, I digress, because if I look back at the history of our country, we grew up and most of the people that did stuff in this country, sorry, they just happened to be white. Majority was right, and a majority of stuff was. That's not to say Asians and blacks and Hispanics and whatever else you got, Native Americans, Indians. This is not to say they didn't do anything. Of course they did things, but they did it in ratio. You know, if you have 300 people versus, right, Mike, if you have 300 people versus 29 people, you can't say that the 29 people were doing more than the 300 people. No.
And you know what I mean? If you look at things right now, the hate that's flowing out of the Democratic Party is directed at whites and Asians. There is no white hatred for Asians. It's blacks that attack them all the time. Why do you hate whites and Asians? On the whole, they get an education, they work, they contribute to their community, and they don't want something for nothing.
Right.
And that's kind of where we are on that issue. I mean, these people say, well, keeping being prompt at work, keeping a schedule, valuing your children, that's all racist, white privilege stuff. And I think, well, tough. That's the way it's going to stay. They're going to make people into white nationalists or white supremacists by their abuse. And I think we're going to see it in the military.
Well, before you go to the military, I know you want to say something about special forces, but I just want to just get in here a minute and tell you.
You go right ahead, sir.
The Chinese have been here since, I guess, the beginning, right? Let's say 1700s, 1800s. They helped build the railroads.
They built the railroads. That's right.
Yeah, they were the slave labor. They were dynamiting, you know. But don't forget, their culture goes back, I don't know, 5,000-6,000 years, right? And, you know, they knew how to do all these things, unlike other continents, you know, that they still were in straw huts, burning straw and, you know, getting one cow for the village or whatever. But, you know, the Chinese were advanced back in the day. But, you know, again, they were called coolies or whatever their name was, their slang name back in the day. And they did a great job. And I remember growing up, I grew up downtown in New York City, where there was Chinatown and You know, they were hardworking people, some of the best laundry places, you know, washed the shirts and ironed them. And they were, you know, the shirts were like stiff boards when you put them on. You know, it's like putting a straitjacket on. They were so good, you know, with the starch. But, you know, the hardworking people, restaurateurs, and then, you know, like other things, the next generation became doctors and whatever, and scientists and you know, educators. And, you know, the Asians always got along with the whites. Mike, it was not a big problem. You know, yeah, I would say back in the 1800s, building the railroad was slave labor. What are you going to do? You know, again, we look back in our history and we're no different than, like, look at the Romans and the Jews. You know, just we're coming up on Passover and Easter. You know, look at what the Romans did to the Jews. Look what the Jews did to the Jews. You know what I'm saying? So you always had that kind of thing. You had slavery and then you had crucifixions. Remember, if a slave stole something, or a slave did something, he was on a crucifix back then, right? So, you know, it was a whole different world in a different time. But, you know, we don't do those things anymore. You know, we don't have the KKK running around like the Democrats used to run around. They call themselves, what do they call themselves now? They call themselves Democrats.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But they were the ones to abort everybody. Margaret Sanger, like you say, KKK, you know, the Hoods. So, I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I've been around Asians a long time since I'm a young kid, you know. And I saw the dens. I saw the smoke dens. I saw the gambling dens, you know. And Colonel Mike will throw in, I dated a few in my day, too. So Chow Mein and Hong Kong Harry and One Hung Lo, you know, it's all in my dictionary, you know what I'm saying? And it's in my resume. So I happened to like them. I got along with them well. You know, when I was a kid, I was a little bit of a terror. You know, we'd knock over a few fruit carts and something, you know, get a Chinese apple or whatever, get a cleaver thrown at you too sometimes, you know?
Well, you know, there are hardworking people, and whites primarily are hardworking people. And there, so much of this business from the Democratic Party is they resent successful people. And it must be really tough for those Harvard and Yale guys to know how stupid they are and how successful are some guys that never get past high school.
I saw this guy on RT today, Richard Wolff. You remember him, a crazy professor from somewhere. You know, he's always good to be on like a Democracy. What is it called? Democracy Now, which they should rename to Hypocrisy Now. You know, with Amy Goodman.
Yeah.
All things social, Marxist and communist are good. And every damn white American's no good, you know? Richard Wolff, and there's another professor up there, Lawrence, what? Dribble, Tribbett, whatever his name is.
Tribe, that's right.
Yeah, Lawrence.
I wanted to put him on the court.
Yeah, oh my God.
I'd like to put him before a court.
I'd like to put him on a pitchfork. That's what I like. But yeah, we can't say that. But Mike, let's go to Special Forces.
Yeah, I just, between this general, who is now the defense secretary, the general that they got in charge of defending the Capitol, and now they've sent a guy, I wrote his name down here, Richard Torres Estrada, is now the diversity.
Can I say that with the accent? Wait a minute.
Yes.
When Obama was in office, he would always roll the R's. Ricardo, what's his middle name?
Torres.
Oh, Perez Estrada.
Okay. Yeah, that's him. But he's going to be the diversity and kind of hiring manager for the Special Operations Forces. And they found, somebody went to the record and they found out that he was pretty consistently an identifier of Donald Trump as Adolf Hitler. And he also has this plan, his pet plan is Marxist equity. And now we've got that in the service. And then we have, those are the three of them. There are three of them. They're all set loose on the military to find out who the haters are. And it's going to be white people and conservatives and Catholics, Christians, fundamentalists, Christian fundamentalists.
So what branch of the military or what military in what country are they from, Venezuela or Cuba?
Well, yeah. Well, they're sent there to destroy the organization, the institution. You know, there was a point where in the 1770s, Benjamin Franklin was in London, and the British were about to send a force to garrison Boston because of the Boston Tea Party. And he said, "You're not going to find any anti-British attitude there at this time when you go, but you may well create it." And I think that's exactly what these people are going to find, that there is no animosity against the United States government. There are differing opinions in the U.S. military, but they're going to create an anti-democratic force, which is a good thing, I think, in the long run for us. But they're going to find something that doesn't exist in the military, and they're going to purge it, and they're going to have a lot of people, first of all, who will retire early. Second of all, they'll have hundreds and thousands of people who won't join the military to become part of a pregnant flight suit group. Mm-hmm. And it's a disaster in the making. It's another case of they won't find it, but they will create it.
Mike, I don't know how we don't have people in the Republican Party, even if there's 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 10. You know, you remember when Abraham was begging and pleading with God about Lot, you know, if there's just one good man in Sodom and Gomorrah, you're going to wreck the whole place kind of thing and take it down. I mean, there's got to be a dozen, two dozen guys who would stand up in the Republican Party and say, what the hell is going on? By the way, where is that guy? James Inhofe, boy. He filibusters anytime there's a budget with the Armed Services Committee and the chairman. You know, we must get this budget passed. I think we should contact him and put him on the show. We should ask him, hey, you know, you're out there for a week talking about $700 billion, and we need to get this money to our troops and to our Pentagon right away. What's with the tampon program, Joe? I mean, you know, are we in a rush to become a transgender now? And what's going on? Diversity and woke? I think I got to call Inhofe's office, have you on the phone, Mike, and listening as a witness to my discussion when his staff says, oh, I'm sorry, sir. Let me get you the communications director. And by the way, you can't talk to her. You'll have to email her. Let me give you her email address. Are you ready? Do you have a pencil or a pen? Okay. Her name is Heidi .mail.gov, and they never reply.
Yeah.
They get full-time pay. They can't pick up a phone. And if they do reply, it's like, oh, can you send us, please, one of your shows? And then when they hear us, they say, well, you know, James Inhofe is so booked, he's booked from now until December for Christmas lights. You know what I mean?
Well, because we can arrange an interview for you with the FBI.
Yeah, he could do that. He could do that. You know, but James Inhofe, 700, that's the Oklahoma guy. Anybody who don't remember that, that's one of the guys on the Republican Party side. Now, I think James Inhofe was elected just about when James Buchanan was in office. Yeah. So that would put him about 165 or something years. I don't know what it is. But, you know, James Inhofe, just remember that name, Inhofe, James Inhofe, big foreign armed services committee. $700 billion, and guess what? He's letting this stuff go by. Shame on you, Mr. Inhofe.
Yeah.
Shame on you, Armed Services Committee. Shame on you, senators of the Republican Party. You're all going to go. By the way, I just put a little post up somewhere on the web, and I put my darling's picture up there, and I said she's running against Murkowski in Alaska. How's that, Mike?
I think that's great.
Isn't that nice?
You know, if they and, go ahead.
No. I just figured because now she's worried about getting what's that? What do you call it when they go to run and somebody? Oh, primary.
Yeah.
She's worried about getting primary. So I figured I'll put Beautiful's picture up, right? I said, well, we're moving to Alaska, and I'm going to primary her. I'm a lot nicer looking and prettier and younger, and I will win. That was it. I just put it, you know, and I won't tell you the website, but I put it up here. And Murkowski's going to have a run for the money now.
Yeah.
So,
well, I hope she does. I hope she gets beat like a drum. But well, I just want to finish by saying, Colonel, that if they keep this up with the military, you know, we won't have a joint chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. We'll have the chairman of the joint bowl of fruit.
Or you'll have, what is it called? Joint Gender Society.
Joint Gender Society.
This is ridiculous. I don't know where these guys came from, where they're going. But all I know is, Mike, you know, I wore the uniform for a short time. I wasn't a lifer like General McInerney. I didn't do the big stuff. I should have did it because the pay was good at the end. Okay. And now looking back in retrospect, I'm like, oh, gosh, good thing I got out when I got out. It could have started then. I don't know. But I know a lot of kids are getting out. Young people are getting out. I talk to them all the time. They're sick of it. They don't like the political correctness. And our side's not doing nothing about it. Do you have any update on Trump coming back April 1st?
No, he hasn't called me in the past couple of days. Generally, we shoot the bull regularly. It can't be soon enough for me, whenever it is.
Well, Mike Lindell, the latest is Mike Lindell says he's coming in August. That's a little too late for me because the cherry blossoms are gone and the 4th of July is over, so I can't celebrate with fireworks.
Oh, that's what Joe said today. He wants everybody to get vaccinated and wear their masks so we might be able to celebrate 4th of July. I thought it was a mistake when he did it last time, but he did it again today.
Wow.
He's going to control 4th of July. I wonder how he'd like a firecracker up his ass. He might like it.
How about a Roman? You know what would be nice if we all just shot Roman candles towards the Capitol? We could just say, hey, it was, it's the anniversary, 1776, I don't know. I think a lot of people, they're still worried about coming to D.C., and I don't know why they are, because you could come here with a poster and a placard. And you saw what happened in D.C. Two young thugs killed a man.
Yes.
They tasered the guy, and he died. And that's a person of color. They didn't care. He was Pakistani. You know what I mean?
So maybe they're not on the team. Pakistanis are hardworking people too.
Yeah, well, he was working. He was only here 10 years, But that's it for the Knock Report. Hey, you're on with Colonel Mike and Dr. Mike. And we like doing these Knock Report news updates, but sometimes they run a little over. So we don't want to keep you on all day here, Dr. Mike. And I know the listeners are, they got lots of things to do when they tune in and they listen to the Knock. And JD's, by the way, if you tune in to the last couple of shows, JD is getting a little loose there. I think he found his, what do they call that? The tap dance shoes. What do they call it in the entertainment industry? He found his wiggle a jiggle. I don't know what it is. Anyway, he's letting loose now. He's really, he's shown some.
We live in a time where Frank's speech is absolutely needed.
Yeah. He's showing what I would say is called extraordinary truth to power. But don't forget.
Can you smell it? It's your favorite freshly ground coffee brewing in your favorite cup. If you're anything like me or my family, coffee is essential for our mornings. And even more essential is good quality coffee. Well, Freedom First Coffee is our preferred choice. Made from organically grown beans from Mexico and Peru, they're then roasted here in the USA. So head on over to freedomfirstcoffee.com and choose our Founders Blend in medium or dark roast, ground or whole bean. That's freedomfirstcoffee.com. And make sure you use promo code KNOCK, that's N-O-Q, for 10% off your order. And if you really want to be a freedom lover, choose a monthly subscription so you will never be without your Morning Joe. Again, that's freedomfirstcoffee.com.
I've got to work that into it. listening to, I always listen to the news updates with the two mics. They are fantastic. I always listen to my wife. I've got it memorized, obviously, verbatim. She's talking about coffee. We do need to make a new spot, just to mix it up. But repetition is, it works apparently. So hopefully you guys are out there buying lots and lots of coffee. But I couldn't, while listening to both those things, I couldn't shake what Dr. Andy Lazarus said earlier about fascism. That's it. I mean, that's really what we're experiencing. You know, the death of America is coming at the hands of fascism if we are to die. I'm not saying that it's that we're going to die for sure. I'm just saying that it's looking pretty bad. And based upon the people's belief, it's not the government. It's not just media. It's not just big tech. The real culprits are the people who are unwilling to look at the real science, who are unwilling to go back on what they were saying before and acknowledge that, you know what, they were right. People like Scott Atlas, he was right. People like Dr. Andy Lazarus, he was right. We have to just shake people if we have to, not physically. I'm not calling for violence. Make sure we're clear about that. But shake them emotionally. Make them understand that they have to put down their pride. They have to put on their minds because they've let those go. Okay, it's like, oh, well, there's Dr. Fauci. He's going to tell us what to say here. Just take my mind out here. You know, here, doc, just tell me what you need me to think, and I will think it because you're Dr. Fauci, and I am a fascist. This is what they're thinking. Gosh, I love that phrase. Thank you, Dr. Lazarus, for giving that to me. I'm going to totally steal it and use it every day now. Lord willing, I will be back very soon with another episode. But in the meantime, you guys stay strong, stay safe, and God bless you.